have modified the service a little bit, as you can tell tonight, and they're talking about some storm blowing in and maybe getting worse between 7 and 10 o'clock, but we just saw on radar most all of it is past us now, and at least for this evening from what I understand. So rest easy, and good to have the Crooks back. I hate coming to church when they're not here. I don't know why. They've been here so long, I guess, but I come in on Sunday morning and I expect to see Mickey in my Sunday school teachers meeting and Nancy looking about for the handouts for the media room and Spanish and Delph. And then Jackie is leaving tonight, and I'll miss her too. Now, she's expecting me to give a joke here or anything, but I'm not. And I hope you have a great trip. See this new grandbaby. And now, David, you're not going, is that right? Are you going to be okay? I didn't think so. I'm not sure. So we just had one fellow who had disappeared for weeks show up finally. So we don't want you to be disappearing or anything. So Mark chapter 4, I thought this would be fitting. I want to speak to you about there arose a great storm of wind. Man, I hate storms, don't you? I hate them. I've gotten where I just don't like them. Before, I had no issues with them. I wasn't afraid of them. But it was probably because I didn't have any sense either. My father had been in a couple of tornadoes where when he came out of the storm shelter, all that they had left was the clothes on their back. And the storm shelter was not some nice, it was a hole in the ground with some wooden latch on the top of it. And he hated storms. I remember one night I was going to go bowling with some of my friends, and we're all meeting at the bowling alley, and tornado warnings came up. My dad said, "You're not leaving until the tornado warnings are over." And I said, "Well, Dad, I'm not afraid of these storms." And he said, "I told you, you're not leaving." And I said, "Okay." I wasn't afraid of the storms, but I was afraid of my dad. And so listen to this passage in Mark 4, verse 35. It's a great passage. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. So picture this, they're finished ministering and they're in a ship. This is not a large boat. It's a little bit bigger than a John boat, but not much more. And the Lord's going to be asleep in the back. He gets comfortable in the back. He's been ministering, and we see the Son of Man. We see his humanity as he's sleeping in the back. And then it's interesting. There's other ships they took with him, and says, and there's other little ships by them. And then verse 37 says, "And there arose a great storm." Now stay with me. A great storm. Ready? "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." So, man, I mean, the waves are crashing in, and they're starting to bail water. I don't know if you've ever been, have any of you ever been in a boat, maybe out in the ocean or the river, and it's beginning to take on water? Anybody been there? Yeah, you've been there before? And I was in the Tennessee River, and I was with a dear brother. Thank God he was a major in the Air Force, but thank God he's a Boy Scout. And we heard something. We were shooting across water. Some of these old men, they want to shoot across the water 150 miles an hour, you know, boom, zooming across there. And I'm a little bit nervous. If I was driving it, I wouldn't be so nervous, I don't think. But anyway, we're shooting across the water, and I heard something go thump. And I turned around and looked at him and said, "What was that?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." And we're shooting across the water. I looked down and I'm in ankle deep water. And I turned and said, "You know, I'm in ankle deep water here." And a huge carp had jumped in the back of the battery bay back there and knocked the plug out. We don't know whatever happened to the plug. And we're taking on water. And we're taking it on pretty quick. And he says, and it's full. He can't see. He's reaching, trying to find the plug. So I'm looking at emptying the Coleman cooler, and I want to ride that puppy all the way to the shore. They're supposed to float. They're supposed to float. And so I was going to get, I used to be a strong swimmer. but not for a long time. And I was in aqua therapy the other day. I thought, I think I'm going to try to swim. And my right hip said, I wouldn't do that, fellow, if I was you. So I didn't. And it'd be terrible. The therapist had to jump in and pull me out of 5 foot water. Wouldn't that be terrible? And I'd have to resign and leave the city if that happened. And so it was taking on water, and I was looking, and then I'm judging which shoreline is the closest to me. While he's trying to find the plug, I'm deciphering all of this quickly. And then he had another plug that had like a bread wrapper on the gas line of the engine. What a Boy Scout. And he plugged it in, and then he had a pump, and it pumped it all out. And we got to go home and fish for another 6 hours. Thank God. It was so wonderful. And anyway, he picked me up here in front of the church at 4:30 and brought me back at dark o'clock. Man, I mean to tell you. And the storm has come. The Bible says a great storm. What kind of storm was it? It was a great storm, and of wind. And so it's beating, and it says in verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Well, let me tell you something. He's the creator of all that wind and all that water. He's not concerned. You know what? He was concerned about this storm. And listen to me. He can fix it where we don't have to be concerned about our storm. And he says, the Bible says in verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? Why are you so terrified? The word fearful here translates to be in terror. He says, How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, storms are frightening. I know every little child hears the thunder and it makes them jump out of their skin. The lightning will flash, and you can do a time some way. There's a time way of hearing the thunder and then seeing the flash of determining how far the storm is from you. I don't remember all of that, but I know that there's a way to do that. And sometimes storms can be very destructive. This situation, the disciples, they had entered in. They were going to pass over the Sea of Galilee, and they find themselves right in the midst of the storm. Now, tonight, let's compare the physical storm to the storms of life. And let's look at this. And let's ask the question, let's identify, what storm do we have? What storm do you have in your life? Is it a storm that, you know, it's maybe family problems, or maybe it's financial struggles, or maybe it's a trouble at work, or maybe it's a trouble at college or at school. Maybe it's, a job problem that you need a job. Maybe it's a health issue, but there's a storm. Now, notice, if you would, first of all, some of the thoughts about the storms. In verse 37, it says, "And he arose, and there arose a great storm of wind and waves." Storms, several things about them. First of all, they are they're not always predictable. You don't know what a storm's going to do, and the weatherman, he's rolling the dice. I think sometimes weather people, they roll the window down and look out, or they pull the blinds up and say it's partly cloudy and may rain. I think that's the way that they estimate these things. But sometimes storms are not predictable. You don't know what's going to happen. Someone says that you're either, as a child of God, entering a storm or exiting a storm, or you're in the midst of a storm. Now, storms come in all shapes and sizes. There's different types of storms. They give category of tornadoes. There's a F1 to F5. There's categories of hurricanes. And I have friends that live out on the coast, and they'll tell me the hurricane can just come and just sit up there 300 yards and just sit there for 4 days and not even move, just sit there. My understanding is the benefit is you know it's coming and you have plenty of time to board things up. A tornado, the siren goes off, you get sick at your stomach. You look for a place to hide, and before you find the place, it's pretty much passed over. So they're very unpredictable. They're all shapes and sizes. By definition, a storm can be intense. And it may just be for just a few minutes. But you see that thing that they'll put up there. If you're in the Jackson area, it'll be there at 6:15. If you're in the Bemis area, it'll be there at 6:20. If you're in Bethel Springs, they'd be there at 6:30, and you're looking at that, and it's intense. Or if you're in a place of safety and you're hearing it beat, there's a great intensity that comes with a storm. Storms can be temporarily out of control, and it will lift up, it will grab things. Storms are good to preoccupy us. Peter got preoccupied on the storm and began to sink, didn't he? Storms can prepare us. How many have extra flashlights and candles at home for the storms? You know that? A storm's prepared you for that. You know, something that we have that we've had for some time now. But we have these electric chairs that you push a button and the headrest comes out and I can rest my head. And then the legs will come out. And we'll have those things up, and the power go off, and my leg's up, and I can't get down now. And I asked Debbie to bring the battery out of the Toyota in and hook that up, but she wouldn't do that. And I have just told her, don't put your legs up. We may have to go get shelter, and without thinking about it, you know, there I am. I'm going up, and we lose the power, so I'm there. So what do? I take a nap while I'm in that position. Sometimes storms pass by, and that's a wonderful thing. Now, I want you to notice how to get through some of the worst storms. Let me tell you how to get through them. First of all, three thoughts. To survive a storm, we must have a solid foundation. In Matthew 7, it speaks about the storm. In Matthew 7, verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." There must be a strong foundation to endure the storms. Now, consider the two vital dynamics of what the Bible tells us here. It speaks, are you paying attention? Listen to me. It speaks about hearing and doing. Hearing and doing the word. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." It's not enough just to hear it. You better do it. You better put it into practice. And so there's two vital dynamics to get through the storm. It's hearing and doing. James reminds us of this. And he says in James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." James is saying that we're just fooling ourselves. If we're hearing this, but yet we're not putting into place, we have fooled ourselves. Now, the word of God is unchangeable. Amen? So when all else is shifting, sand, the word of God stands. It is unchangeable. So a good foundation requires these two things. What's a good foundation? A real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to have a real relationship with the Lord. There's so many people who know of him and know his name, but they don't have an intimate personal relationship with him. And not only do you need to have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to have a rich relationship with the Word of God. Now, these two go along. Now, I believe that you can read your Bible and still not be close to God. Read your Bible, I mean, you could be a fanatic and read it every day. And I don't think that's fanatical. I think we ought to do that. But I mean, you can just read it every day at the same hour every day and still not be close to God. There's got to be a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there must be a rich relationship in His Word. Now, what does that include, to be rich in His Word? It means to have a daily devotion time, a time with God. You know, there's some people who think that the only time to be with God is when you come to church. But let me tell you something. Start your day with God's Word. There's got to be a devotional time, a private time where you're with God. And then there needs to be a Bible study. Study your Bible. Rightly dividing the word of truth, the Bible says. Get you some decent helps. And if you need some helps, I'll tell you. But get you some helps that you can read at home. Don't let it take the place of your Bible, but get some helps. But this is how you develop a rich relationship with His Word. A daily devotion time, a private time with God, Bible study, not just a short devotional, but Bible study, maybe a topical study. There's the pastoral teaching. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, "And God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. So be in your place, be underneath solid doctrine, sound doctrine of your pastor. Practical application. Find a way to apply the truth in your life, to apply it in a practical way. Find a way to do that. And then the personal proclamation. Make it a personal thing in your life, a standard or commitment or conviction. So if you're going to get through the storms, you're going to have a strong foundation, and that foundation is a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Often the storms draw us nearer to Him. And then a rich relationship with His Word, where we are having daily devotion time, Bible study time. Study your Bible. Go home and study your Bible. Listen to teaching and preaching from your shepherd. Find a way to practically apply the truth and have a personal proclamation. This is what the Bible says. This is what I'm going to do. Secondly, how do we get through the storm? Well, we said to survive the storm, we must have a strong foundation, but also to survive the storm, we must have a strong faith. Now listen to Jesus' quote, or his question rather, in verse 40, Mark 4, verse 40. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful, terrified? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now, let me tell you what faith is. I know faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We know all these things. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But faith is believing. Faith is believing in the character of God. That's what faith is. Man, I've been through some storms, but my faith had led me out because I know the character of my God. Listen, when we're in the storms, it's not the things that we don't know that hurts us. It's the things that we do know that we need to compound in our life. For instance, "He loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Isn't that true? He loves me. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He has promised to never leave me or forsake me. He's always there. He's in the midst of the storm with me. He has never suffered me harm or evil or hurt. He has never been anything but good. I know this. You see, faith is believing in God's character. And when Paul said that I might know Him, we need to know the character of God, who He is. He is immediately forgiving. Yes. That's who He is. So it's not why and where was God at and why did God let this happen and how did the devil get in. It's knowing, faith is believing in the character of God. Now it takes God, faith is taking God at His word, believing that Jesus sees our storm. He knows the storm we're in. He was in the back of the boat, but he was in the boat with them. Believing that Jesus is sovereign over our storm, peace, be still. All he's got to do is speak. He is sovereign over our storm. Believing that all storms will eventually pass. This too shall pass. And then believing that storms prepare us to get to the other side. That's where they were headed. They were going to the other side. In verse 35, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So we need to believe that storms are preparing us for the other side. Let me tell you this. These disciples were greater in their faith, stronger in their walk with God, going upon shore than what they were when they got off ashore on the other side. This is what the storm will do. Now, thirdly, and lastly, let me say that we notice how to get through the storm. We survive the storm by having a strong foundation. That's an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and a rich relationship in His Word. We survive the storm by being people of strong faith, exercising our faith. And then we survive the storm, we must have a strong fear. Now look what it says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, we want to consider the word fear. Some form of the verb fear is found over 500 times in the Bible. The word can be translated reverence. Reverence is, it's a kind of fear, and that's what we are to show God. When we are to fear the Lord, fear God, we are to reverence God. Now, when the Pharaoh of Egypt, he ordered the midwives to kill their babies. But listen, the Bible says in Exodus 1, verse 17, they feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded. And God honored the midwives for their response to him and gave them children of their own. Now, the Israelites in Exodus 4, verse 31, the Bible says, saw the great work of the Lord, which the Lord hath done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord. This is a reverence, and believed the Lord. The prophet Samuel taught his people in 1 Samuel 12, verse 24, to fear the Lord and to serve him in truth. Then King David prayed in Psalm 89, verse 11, and said, unite my heart to fear your name. But fear is most often used to mean terror. And when in verse 40, when it says, why are ye fearful? Why are you terrified? And let me tell you, fear can paralyze us from doing what God would have us to do. So today, there's so many people who are living in fear. There are people who aren't here tonight because they're afraid. You know? Now, I'm not saying some should be home and some can't see at night to drive. And I don't want to pressure anyone to come. But I tell you, it's real easy to fall back on the live stream. Yeah. You know? Are you listening to me? It makes me just want to unplug it. I might come back there in 2 minutes and unplug that and stick my tongue out at you right before I unplug it. No, I won't do that. I can't do that anymore because I'm a mature 66-year-old man. But understand this. There are people who are so fearful. They're fearful to be vocal for God, to stand up and to speak for God. They're fearful to express their position, what God's word says. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God to us and to show us his power over all these things. Now, there's no need to fear. Jesus told his disciples that fear is the opposite of faith. So there's no need to fear. We need a healthy fear, reverence of God to get us through the storm. So look at Psalm 25, verse 14 says this, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he which showeth them his covenant. Now, this holy and this healthy fear is a sense of God's presence. It's a sense of God's power. that leads to an extreme reluctance to accomplish the work and the will of God. We don't need to let the fear, the terror, come in and halt us from accomplishing what God would have us to do. And this fear will motivate us to victory, and will keep us from foolish attitudes and actions that will harm the work of God and our walk with God. Now, let me finish up here and I'll be done. Our foundation upon God's word, we must have a solid foundation. Our faith in the character of who God is. And then our fear, a strong fear of reverence of God. Jesus is in the storm with us. He cares about us, and he'll get us through the storms. Now, listen, we started in verse 37. And there arose a what? Look at verse 39, the last part. And there was a what? You know, we start out with a great storm, but when faith is applied and we take the promises of God, there's a great calm that comes. And let me tell you why. The reason why is verse 41. What manner of man is this? We're in a great storm. He brings a great calm because he is a great God. And God's people said, I like it. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to come. We won't have to have an invitation played. We'll just be quiet. That'd be fine. But if you do have a storm, maybe it's a great storm. Maybe the wind's blowing, the vessel's filling full of water. But it is Jesus who brings the great calm. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? How great our God is. Let's put our faith in him. You're in a storm. Strong foundation with who he is and his word. Strong faith. Trust him. Faith is believing in the character of God, knowing him. You're in a storm. Have a great or strong fear, a reverence to God. Father, help us meet our needs tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.